14 attempts from, or excuse me, he was 12 for 26 in the air. He did throw for 195 yards, but as you mentioned, four interceptions. That's back-to-back years that Tyson Lewis threw four picks against the Pendleton Knights Arabians. And on top of that, last year he also threw a pick six. Eli Arthur was the one who walked it in, who housed it last season. This year, of course, it was Nolan Souter. So Aiden Wilson was mentioning in last night's broadcast that, I mean, just based on these past 2 years, you could say Pendleton Heights and their defense is Tyson Lewis' kryptonite because he's a good quarterback. I mean, you just take a look at his season stats. He's averaging well over 60 yards on the ground, maybe 50 yards now each game, and on top of that, over 100 yards in the air per game. So he's a great quarterback, but Pendleton Knights just did a good job containing him, and a lot of that credit has to go to the defense. Yes, the defensive backs did a great job with the picks, but the defensive line was a huge side of things for Pendleton Heights. They had seven sacks on Tyson Lewis for a total of 37 yards lost. And even when they didn't get the sack, I mean, they're putting pressure on him every single play. But for the running side of things for Lewis, he had 17 carries, 53 yards, and of course, no touchdowns. But with that 45 yards lost due to sacks and just and runs going backwards, really, Tyson Lewis, when it comes to a net total of rushing yards, had only eight. But you look over for Pendleton Heights and their individual stats starting off for the rushing side of things. Isaac Wilson, the quarterback, he got it done once again. 13 carries, 63 yards, averaged 4 yards a run, had a touchdown on top of that. Keaton Jones, the junior running back, is showing a lot of potential in these past two games. Back-to-back games with a touchdown. This game he had 7 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown with an average of 4.7 yards per carry. Dresden Roberts got in there, 4 yards, 29 carries. Bo Surface, Clint Miller, and Aiden Forshaw all with 3 carries each. And then Nick Trout and Colton Frank had a carry as well throughout that game. So in total, Pendleton Knights with 35 carries, 206 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. They averaged 5.3 yards per running attempt. But over for the passing side of things, Isaac Wilson, he was 6 for 11, 71 yards, and a touchdown. So, yeah, sure, he had a great night when it comes to the air, but obviously 11 attempts, 71 yards is pretty good, just that average. And then for Colton Frank, he got in there towards the end of the game, also took a couple of reps throughout it. He was 5 for 6. He did throw a pick there, but also on top of that had 48 yards and a touchdown. So obviously great game for Pendleton Knights. I mean, you just take a look at the individual statistics, especially on the running side of things. I mean, 206 yards for Pendleton Heights is very good. But, I mean, the offense can't do it if the defense isn't playing well, and that was exactly the case for Pendleton Knights last night. Of course, the Arabians, as we were mentioning, this is their third shutout in a row. So starting off with three shutouts, I was taking a look back on the records, and as far as I was able to go back, I think this is the first time at least since 1994 since Pendleton Heights started off with back-to-back-to-back shutouts. I'm sure it's way before that. It might be the first in school history, but again, that's just how far back my school records go. So I think the defense and offense were just complementing each other last night. It definitely showed, and I think it showed in all the matchups up to this point.
We were talking about the defense before. I just think defense was the biggest story, but right before that was the running game. When you have 30-something attempts, the rushing is your best, your dominant action of play, if you would. They have about four guys that are pretty really consistent every game, and Isaac Wilson with his running ability just ties that all together because he's all over the place, like running on the field, and it's just perfect what you want.
Yeah, but you look forward for Pendleton Heights, and what Coach Richmond was mentioning in that post-game interview last night was, yes, they played well, yes, they got the win, and it's going to be a win in the record books either way, whether it was by 1 point or whether it was by 40 in a shutout, but you look forward. I mean, you got Greenfield Central here at home next week, followed by New Pal on the road and then Mount Vernon on the road, and arguably those three teams are the toughest in the conference. Greenfield Central starting off 3-0. They just had a great win against Mount Vernon last night on their home turf, and then New Pal, they've been struggling so far this year. They did get a win last night. That would be their first win of the season, and then Mount Vernon, they've also been struggling a bit, but it's really just because of who their schedule. I mean, New Pal has faced some tough competition with Westfield and then Decatur Central, so this is going to be a tough three-game stretch for Pendleton Heights, but, I mean, if they can continue to play and play even better, because I think, yes, the back-to-back-to-back shutouts are good, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be much more of a challenge against Greenfield Central, who's really shown that they have a high-powered offense so far this season. But with that being said, we are going to go ahead and take a short break. When we return, we'll be joined here by the offensive coach for Pendleton Knights, Coach Jesse, on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Again, that's mycsbin.com.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials, and treatments such as teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalon.com, Detour Salon and Style.
Back to Arabian football on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. We are joined here now by Coach Jesse, offensive coach for Pendleton Heights. First off, Coach, thanks for joining us. All right, but starting off, of course, last night, Coach Richmond mentioned a bit in that post-game interview about the fumbles that you guys struggled with last night. And in a team like Greenfield Central, New Pal, that's just not going to fly. You gave Newcastle plenty of opportunities to take over that ball. Some of them you guys were able to recover, but you guys let go of a couple. So heading into a couple tough games against some of the tougher competition, what do you think when it comes to controlling the football and making sure that that ball is protected? What do you think you need to work on when it comes to that?
I mean, absolutely. That's a priority of ours. We have to clean up to get past Greenfield next week, and we know our schedule gets a lot tougher these next three games. In practice, we got to work more ball security drills, and it's just got to be a point of emphasis and to hang on to the football and not turn it over, especially the way our defense is playing. It's not fair to those guys. Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job of getting those guys ready to play, and our players are flying around on defense. And so we got to hold up our end of the deal and protect the football and keep putting points on the board.
Yeah, and of course, we were mentioning there in that opening segment, your run game last night and really for the rest of the season has been very dominant so far. I mean, 206 yards on the ground for 35 carries. You're averaging 5.3 yards per carry is very impressive. But what stands out to me is the amount of guys that gets in there and gets reps and are very consistent and can play a starter role in any other team. So when it comes to just the group in general, is there anyone that really stands out among that group of running backs?
I mean, those guys, we try to spread the ball around. We got a lot of athletes. Keaton Jones can hit the hole fast and make guys miss, and he did it on that second touchdown that we had. And then we have Dresden Roberts and get in there and carry guys 7 to 10 yards on his back like he did. We got Bo Surface can get out there and make some plays. Miller came in there and did a good job running some Ohio's outside zones. Nick Trout even got a touch. We got a lot of guys that can make plays, and we try to spread the ball around as best we can. And with last night, that was a part of the game plan was to run the football, and I think we did. There's some things that we definitely need to clean up to reach our goals, but we're going to work on those this week.
Now, we mentioned how those guys are pretty consistent game in and game out, and when you get that much volume as a running back, you kind of have to be. How do you think they stay so consistent every game?
We try to put them in practice those situations. The game plan was to get those guys the football on the outside and this the practicing.
So your next game is against Greenfield Central, and last night they just had a nice win against Mount Vernon at home. They are undefeated. Do you approach this game any differently based on the previous teams or their record or anything like that?
No, I mean we got to focus on ourselves. We clean up our things that we need to do, and execute like we know we can. That was a challenge at halftime. I challenged the kids, came in and we weren't playing to our level, and that was a point of emphasis this week to play to our level and not to our opponent's level. And in the first half, I don't think we did that very well. And that's one of the things we need to focus on. If we focus on ourselves and do what we know we can do, it's going to be a fun next Friday.
Yeah, and you look more on the receiving and passing side of things for last night. Of course, for Newcastle, they got a very, very solid group of defensive backs. Their safeties put on quite the show last night. Of course, Therine, a very, very good athlete. So against arguably the toughest defensive backs you face so far this season, how do you think your wide receivers and Isaac Wilson fared against a very tough coverage?
I mean, last night, those safeties played great. They were flying around. I remember there was a play action we ran on the third down or second down, I think it was, and a safety came across the field and, I mean, made a fantastic play. I think it was Therine. Therine had the interception. But a lot of those things that could be cleaned up if we get rid of the ball a little quicker, if we protect a little better. So the mistakes that we had and the turnovers we had, it's just us having some better eye discipline and us getting the kids in better situations in practice for them to see that a little quicker, and then it'll clean those things up, those mistakes and those interceptions and fumbles and stuff like that, so we can protect the ball.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of talk around the defense so far this season, but they won't be able to do it without a good offense and a consistent offense that stays on the field and gives them breaks. So when it comes to the offense and defense just kind of supporting each other and bouncing off of each other, how do you think that works, and how do you think the offense has been really giving in some part when it comes to these back-to-back-to-back blowouts?
I mean, what Coach Huth and Coach Trout, Coach Robeson and Coach Bishop have done over there on the defensive side is great, and it's nice to be able to call plays knowing you got the defense back there that got your back. So I think we've worked well together so far. I know we got to do our part and protect the ball better. I know I've said that already, but that's the main thing we got to do. If we can protect the ball and keep our drives going and keep our defense off, then the sky's the limit for us.
Yeah, and you look back to last night specifically, we saw a little trick play from you guys where Colton Frank was lined up as the quarterback. We saw Isaac Wilson come in motion on a jet sweep, but then he swung out the other way and looked downfield. Of course, it didn't really work out as incompletion, but still a nice trick play as you drew up there. Was there any others in the playbook? Can we expect stuff like that heading forward, or was that more of just a, we'll give it a shot, see if it works?
I don't know. I mean, Coach Trout, he's a defensive coach, but he's always trying to get some sort of trick play in there. So he might be an honorary offensive guy. So I don't know. You might be able to see some other things later on this season. But yeah, definitely that was something we put in new this week, and it didn't go exactly how we planned it. But we'll see what comes in the future.
Yeah, and of course, for Isaac Wilson, I was mentioning there in the broadcast last night, it wouldn't be a football game if Isaac Wilson didn't get in for a rushing touchdown. Of course, his dual threat ability is just something that stands out to anyone watching the game, whether it's your first time or you're a parent of one of the players and you watch every game. So when it comes to Isaac Wilson, his dual threat ability, what have you seen from him so far this season, and what more specifically last night?
I mean, he makes the offense go. He can do it all. I mean, his ability is second to none. He can pass. He can do it all. We all got to get better at things. So there's things that he can get better at, but there's the guys around him have to get better as well in order for him to do the things that he can do. So as long as we continue to do that each and every week, we'll be all right.
Yeah, and one last question here, focusing more on the offensive line for last night. Of course, didn't give up a single sack on either Isaac Wilson or Colton Frank, but did allow a couple of pressures, and then we saw maybe a couple of high snaps and inaccurate snaps a couple times last night. So overall, just the offensive line performance, not only last night, but for the rest for the entire season. Of course, you look back to week one, Lebanon, there was a little trouble with the snaps for Jacob McKinley for the center. But other than that, I mean, just taking a look again at the entire offensive line as an overall, how do you think they've been performing so far this year?
You know, we've been okay. I mean, that's my position that I coach, and we got to clean stuff up there too. Our eye discipline needs to be better. Our snaps has got to be better. That's where the play starts. So we got to clean those things up. It throws our whole offense off if we can't get a snap where it needs to be. So that's a point of emphasis as well. But overall, I mean, all the guys up front, we met one of our goals last night. We rushed for over 200 yards, and so I mean that's hard to do. So when we do it, we got to celebrate it. But I think those guys up front, they want to be great, and they want to be held accountable. And I'm going to do that to them, and we're going to get better and better every week.
But with that being said, that'll do it for our interview here with Coach Jesse. Once again, Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
But we will take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined here by the head coach for Pendleton Heights, Coach Richmond, to look back on last week for the Arabians on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister's Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Twister's Soda Bar offers a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, snacks, and can combine any of those with their syrups, creams, fruit, candy, and edible glitter. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton. Daily specials both eat in and carry out from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. Again, that's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to Arabian football on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. But if you're just tuning in, alongside Zion Palmieri, I'm Dawson Perrell. We're not quite joined here by Coach Richmond. We still got a little bit of time before he joins us here. So until then, I just want to take a look at some of the other Hoosier Heritage Conference scores for last night, September 1st. And this is really the first round of conference play for all teams. Every single team in the Hoosier Heritage, all eight, solid conference opponent. So, of course, we've obviously already mentioned Pendleton Heights versus Newcastle, that being on the top of the list, where Pendleton Heights, again, in case you missed it, won their first conference game and push and advance their record to 3-0 on the season. Final score that one, 40-0. Looking forward to New Pal. They faced off against the Yorktown Tigers at home. And considering New Pal, again, last year, I mean, we talked about it quite a bit during the broadcast last night. Last year, New Pal was one of the best teams, not only in the conference, not only in the sectional, but arguably in the state for all 5A, 6A, wherever you want to look at it, 4A. Well, it's not really 6A, 4A, 5A. But they kind of struggled, you could say, against Yorktown. I mean, yeah, they got the win, and it doesn't, again, we were talking about that in that opening segment. It doesn't matter if you win by 1 point. It doesn't matter if you blow them out by 40. Like Pendleton Heights did, a win is a win. So New Pal going to get their first win of the season over the Yorktown Tigers, 30-22. So, again, Yorktown keeping that close, one-score game. And New Pal, I mean, yeah, you're 1-2 now, but again, they've been struggling, or they've been scheduling very, very tough opponents. Their first game against Westfield and their second game against Decatur Central, and those two teams, arguably some of the best programs in the entire state of Indiana. But moving forward now to probably the biggest game last night, Mount Vernon and Greenfield Central. Mount Vernon heading into the game was also, they were actually 1-1, so they were looking for maybe a win that could put them above 500, but Greenfield Central at their home turf, they didn't let that happen. They won that one 41-35 in a high-scoring matchup, again, that being at Greenfield Central. So the Cougars advanced to 3-0. So next week, Pendleton Heights, Greenfield Central, of course, we'll be seeing the two remaining undefeated teams in the conference. Take that back, Delta's undefeated, but two of the three remaining undefeated teams in the conference go at it to obviously dethrone one of the undefeated teams. So just take a look at that game for Greenfield Central and previewing a bit about what kind of offense they run. Of course, last year they famously ran, for several seasons, they famously run the wishbone offense, which is, if you don't know, which is two running backs lines up on both sides of the quarterback as well as a running back behind the quarterback, and then they just fake handoffs. They go all directions and give it off to one guy. It makes it very hard to broadcast, personal experience. You don't know where the ball's at, but that is also true for the defense. It's very tough to know where exactly the ball's at, and it was very effective against Pendleton Heights last year. Pendleton Heights saw Greenfield Central two times last season, once in the regular season and once in the first round of sectionals, where Pendleton Heights season ended again in that first round of sectionals. But Greenfield Central is running a bit of a different offense this year. They do like to run that a bit. But they are getting the passing game going. Last night against Mount Vernon, they did have a total of 50 carries. So I think saying that they still are running offense is very much fair to say. But I think they are trying to build up a bit more diversity on the offensive end of things. And then finally, Delta and Shelbyville faced off. That was at Shelbyville, and Delta pulled away with that win. They advanced to 3-0 in the season, 21-14. But Shelbyville 2-1. That was their first loss. I guess you could say, yes, just based on records, the Hoosier Heritage is looking a bit different this year. I mean, New Pal 1-2, Shelbyville 2-1. I mean, that was the top dog versus the bottom last season. So I think we'll see. But again, it's a lot about scheduling. And the Arabians definitely have a tough matchup set up for next week.
I think it's all something to watch, especially with New Palestine losing at home. It's just something to watch in the coming weeks. And Greenfield Central, who we play next week, you mentioned we lost to them last year in sectionals. Maybe that's a revenge game for some seniors or juniors. It's just something to watch as time goes on.
Yeah, I think saying that as a revenge game is very much a fair statement. We've been talking with, obviously, a lot of players throughout the season, whether it being in one of these coaches' shows or whether it being just personally throughout school. And sometimes I'll ask them, just, is there a certain game that you're just really looking forward to, and you're taking a look at the schedule and you're pointing to that one, you're circling it on your calendar, circling it a couple times, and a lot of the players have been saying Greenfield Central. I mean, they want revenge on these guys, and I think, yes, a lot of that is because they eliminated them last year in the sectionals, and you want to, you know, prove them wrong this year and prove that where we became a better team. But I think a lot of that is just because, again, that wishbone offense is very aggravating for defenses. It can be very much a mental battle, just not only in the play itself when it comes to just finding the right guy, but it can be pretty aggravating. So I think they're wanting revenge on multiple ways, and I think Pendleton Heights will be bringing it, and I'm sure the stands will be filled out. But taking a look at Greenfield Central as a team themselves, I was mentioning that they definitely have been building up more of a passing game this year. I remember last year, I mean, heading into our first game with them, which was, again, week four at Greenfield Central, I mean, I think the quarterback had maybe 10 or so passes, but this year he is 47 with 461 yards and 8 touchdowns, 0 picks. He's averaging 153 yards a game, so they're very much building up a passing offense, and I think that'll just make them even more dangerous as a team. But with that, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be joined here by Coach Richmond, the head coach for Pendleton Heights on the Arabian Sports Network. Coach, a show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton, serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838, House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
Bring our music and Arabian Sports everywhere you go by downloading our new app on your phone. It's called 91.7 WEEM. Whether you are on a run, in your car, or at work, you can listen to us live. Go to the App Store today and download our app on your Android or iPhone for free. Listen today here on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to Arabian Football on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. Just tuning in alongside Zion Palmieri, I'm Dawson Perrell. We are joined here now by the Pendleton Heights head coach, Coach Richmond. First off, Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, but starting off, of course, last night you guys took down the Newcastle Trojans 40-0 and got conference play started with a win. But after being able to watch some film here this morning, what do you think? How do you think last night went, again, after being able to watch some film with the other coaches? How do you think last night's win went, and maybe what do you think you'll be working on head forward?
Yeah, I'll tell you, our effort was just tremendous. I mean, the intensity the guys played with. I mean, I'll tell you, the aggressiveness and the speed we played, that was as fast as we've played, I think, all season. Just relentless pursuit defensively. I mean, it was fun to watch. At the same time, the correctives are kind of in the details, you know, and that sounds very coach-like, but we've got to continue to get better in a lot of little areas, similar to what we talked about last night. I mean, it's to the common eye, we got to protect the football and we can't have silly penalties, you know, and, you know, but it starts with, and I know how this is going to sound, but it starts with breaking the huddle and sprinting to the line of scrimmage. It starts with getting set and not, you know, not going on your own pace. It starts with, you know, we have an interception at the end of half. Awesome play by Sam Ray. Sam Ray, he knows to knock it down. If he doesn't intercept that and or tries to return it and fumbles it, then they score. So it's a much smarter play to knock it down. He knows that. And not just calling him out. There were multiple plays like that. Sam did a lot of good things on the field last night. You know, and so at the same time, that was one that we all can learn from, that we coach all the time. I mean, and I think that's something where our eye discipline and all three phases, you know, we know where we're going. We have the tools to execute what we need to do. But there are times where we get distracted on the way and we lose focus on finishing that particular play.
Yeah, now, of course, last night's win marked your third consecutive shutout, which was the first time since at the very least 1994, which is as far as I was able to look back last night. So over the span of these three shutouts, what do you think has driven the offense in order to pull, or defense, excuse me, to pull off this feat? And what do you think has to be done in order to continue this success against some very tough, tough offenses?
Well, I think the laws of probability are working against us a little bit. We're going to see an awfully good offense this year, this week, and then they progressively get better as the year goes. And that doesn't mean we can't hold them scoreless, but I think the goal is to get better in all our areas. You know, I mean, we've got to make sure we're sound, especially this week. If we don't read blocks better and respond and recognize those and respond better to what happens in front of us, this team in a blink of an eye will be 7 yards down the field. You know, and if we don't read run pass better this week, that'll be a big play over the top for six. We are pursuing our effort last night. They connected one over the top of our head last night. And, I mean, Clint Miller made a great recovery. Nolan Satters came from the backside. I mean, it was, again, awesome effort. It didn't have to be that awesome. It could have been a dead play, you know, or another interception by either one of those guys if they just would have read a little bit cleaner, you know. And so our aggressiveness worked against us. So I would anticipate Greenfield trying to use our aggressiveness against us. And so that doesn't mean we play slower. That means we have to be more disciplined. Our effort and our toughness right now is where it needs to be. Our discipline in a sense of doing what we're supposed to do consistently is not 11 guys at one time doing that, and that's in all three phases. So we got to clean that up.
So switching to more of the offensive side of things, we all know last night there was a few fumbles, and that was the, you know, that wasn't very good on offense. That was the turnovers.
Felt like 105 fumbles.
So where do you think that problem has started, and what are you guys doing to fix that? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, again, effort, you know, Bo had a couple. Isaac had one. I mean, they're running hard. I mean, that's the thing. Our effort is second to no one. And so with that, though, we've got to protect the football. You know, we've got to be smarter. We threw an interception, you know, and that's we were slow on getting the ball out. So, again, discipline, getting it out when you need to get it out. If it isn't there, if I'm not sure, what's my next? I'm reading it inside out. Am I reading it outside in? Is it a high low? Where do my eyes go? The quarterbacks know that. Coach Frazier's done an awesome job with them. You know, it's the same with running backs. You know, I mean, we work ball security multiple times this week. I mean, our defense does a great job attacking our running backs during practice, trying to get a shot on the ball, and that makes us better. So we'll get better from this. There's no panic button hitting here, but we've just got to be better at what we do.
So last night it was obviously a very dominant game, 40-0. We saw some younger reserves come in towards the end of the game and get some reps. Which one of those kind of stood out to you and did pretty well?
Well, I'll tell you, with the running clock, it's hard. And, you know, I just was talking with one of our with our JV guys about this. And, you know, we JV to me is to get them ready for Friday nights. There's going to be some guys that played special teams that got in on O&D last night a little bit that play JV today. That is not a demotion. That's an opportunity. And may not feel like it today, but it is. And we watch that film. And a lot of those guys are our scout team guys. And they did a really good job this week. I mean, can we do better? Yeah, we can do better, but it's hard to simulate Thrine at safety. But our guys did a good job. I mean, Sam Ray actually did that. Elijah Wolf. We had a couple other guys rotating in there. They did a really good job of that. And I think it's something to be said that the guys are ready and willing when we call on them. You know, it's hard. It's hard to watch, you know, when it's 34 to nothing, it was 31 to nothing. When am I going to get a shot here? You know, I mean, that's a difficult position to be in, and you got to stay loose and be ready. And then when you get in there, then sometimes even offensively, like I felt coach wanted to throw it there on third down. I was like, no, run the ball. Like we're good. And, you know, I feel for those receivers and Hayden out there a little bit as they were in that last offensive group. But that's, you know, that's one of those things. That's part of football. But I'm really proud of those guys. But at the same time, it can be really frustrating. We have a strong senior class ahead of us. If you're let's say you're a junior and you have a strong senior class, then we have a really competitive sophomore class. Our junior class is not bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you're stuck in the middle, sometimes that can be challenging. And even as a sophomore, sometimes you get the sophomore blues a little bit. It's frustrating, man. You come off a freshman year where you play a lot. Now you're kind of back and forth. Where do I fit? And it's a long season. And I see guys get better and better in the weight room each day. I see them getting better in practice. But sometimes as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, you don't quite see that. And even seniors, there's some seniors right now that may not be playing very much. They become big-time contributors as the season goes because our depth is one of our strengths and our competition because of that is one of our strengths. So I don't exactly have a great answer for you last night other than I was really proud to see, you know, you see Aiden Forsher, right? You see him run the ball hard three times, and you see Jake Eldridge in there at D-line hustling and scrapping, and, you know, you see some young guys getting in there and getting a taste, but it's also nice to see Jathan Howard out there. It's nice to see Skylar Conley getting some love out there and getting some hustle and getting in there because those are guys we're counting on, you know, not just day-to-day, but on down the road. Like, they got to be ready and willing. So, and they got to compete for a spot still. I mean, there's no rule that says that whoever's starting is the starter for eternity. Rent's due every day. You know, you got to pay the bills every day. And the depth of our team is a huge strength.
All right, but one last question here. Last night we saw senior kicker Dominic Apoe knock down two field goals, one in the first half, the other in the second. So really when it comes to having just a consistent and powerful kicker on top of that, like Dominic Apoe throughout all of his three seasons of high school football all the way through sophomore year, he's been the starter kicker. So having a consistent kicker like that, how much of an impact does that have on the team?
Well, it's one of those that can go either way, right? We just assume that he's going to hit it, you know, and it takes a lot more than him kicking it. The operation's got to be good. But I was really happy for him. You know, again, another position, it's hard. You got to hang and stay loose, right? And you got to make sure you're ready. And last night he got a couple field goals, and then he did better kicking off. And we really challenged him last week. I mean, we coached those guys the same as anybody else. And Wyatt DeBertrand did a nice job too. And pushed. They really competed in practice, did a good job. And Wyatt's doing a great job on soccer team too right now. So, but I'm proud of him. He's gotten better. And this week he got better. He's got to get better. Going into Greenfield, too. He's a weapon. We've told him that, you know, and he's got to be ready and willing to connect on anything and everything. So, but that's something that he's as big a part of this team as anybody, and I think that's something that that he needs to know, too. It's not just for kicking. I mean, his teammates love him. You know, they've been lifelong friends in many instances, and, you know, they're happy to see him do well, too, you know. So it's encouraging and it's fun.
All right, but with that being said, we will take a short break. When we return, we'll be joined here once again by Coach Richmond to look forward to the next week for Arabian Football and the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Not everyone can be a champion in high school sports, but everyone can be a champion of high school sports.
That's right. Fans and parents can be champions. Coaches and officials, educators, and the media can all be champions of high school sports. I'm Paul Knighty, Commissioner of the IHSAA.
And I'm Assistant Commissioner Janie Ulmer. Being a champion of high school sports is about so much more than winning and losing, setting records, or raising trophies.
It's about supporting the mission of education-based athletics, preserving the opportunity for student-athletes to grow and develop in the second classroom, and to protect high school sports for future generations to come.
Champions of high school sports are just one of the many reasons that education-based athletics in Indiana are so special.
And the easiest way to be a champion is by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic event.
This is showing support. This is championing high school sports. This is your IHSAA.
91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station. We provide everything from programming, music, to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. But we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the students that operate 91.7 WEEM. Donate today at 91.7WEEM.org. Again, that's 91.7WEEM.org.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. If you're just tuning in, alongside Zion Palmieri, I'm Dawson Perrell. We are joined here once again by the head coach for Pendleton Heights, Coach Richmond. But Coach, of course, next Friday, you guys will be here at home once again to face off against the Greenfield Central Cougars in your second conference matchup of the season. But what is the game plan, really, against the Cougars for this week?
Well, they have a handful of weapons. Unique scheme, obviously, in some regard. You know, we run a similar option game. It's just it may look a little different. So I'll be honest, I haven't seen any clips of them, but I know what the stats are, and they're making plays all over the field offensively, and then they're bringing a lot of pressure defensively. So we got to worry about ourselves first and foremost, and that's not just coach talk today. I mean, we got to correct some things to play against anybody next week. But these guys obviously have a lot of mojo going. They knocked off Mount Vernon last night for them, which is, I don't know the last time that happened. It's probably been 5 or 6 years at least, maybe more. You know, they just want an emotional win, you know. So they're going to come in here very, very confident. I've never met a Greenfield team not confident. And so their coach is, I mean, he's doing a good job. He's got them playing hard, and they're very physical. Coach Holden does a good job on their defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, he's a wrestling coach. He's a tough, gritty guy, and he gets those guys playing hard up front and throughout the defense. So, you know, I got to take a look at the film before I tell you really what our game plan is, but I know the things we need to fix and the things we need to sharpen on, and I know our guys will be ready and willing, and I know we have a lot of weapons too. So you know, we spread the ball around well last night. The thing I think that sometimes with what we're doing, we're a little impatient, and you know, we want the big play right now. We want to hit the home run right now, if I can use that example. Like, and it doesn't always happen right now. You know, sometimes it's a scramble and a pass like Wills had to Sims last night. I mean, that was a great play. Then we lost our composure, and we got a penalty because we ran our mouth, you know. And there's things like that that, like, we can't do that. You know, he just did a great job. He escaped, did a great job. I mean, he made a play only a handful of kids can make. You know, he rolls to his right, slings it all the way down the field. That's the cohesiveness that we have, though, you know. I mean, he's a playmaker. And you know, we almost made another one later on in the game. Drake and Reese were kind of in the same area and just came up short. But those are the things we've got to continue to build on. But that cohesiveness is there. We just got to clean up some of the things around the edges. It's, you know, we are a valid opponent for anybody. That's kind of how I look at it.
But, of course, this Greenfield matchup, very an emotional one. A lot of players have been saying this is a game that they've been looking forward to since the beginning of the season. Of course, last year was the team that eliminated you guys in the first round of the sectional. Yeah. So you've been mentioning a lot about the discipline and how that's something you're going to work on. So in an emotional matchup like this, how do you think discipline just plays an even bigger role, and how are you going to be trying to coach your players to get through that?
Well, I think it's a life lesson, right? We can't have the highs too high and the lows too low.
Yeah.
It's week four. Regardless of what happens, we'll probably see him again, you know. So we got to look at this as an opportunity to get better. And when I talk about the process, and I've been blessed to be under some really, really good coaches, and it's not like I created this, right? I mean, it's stuff I've learned through hardship, through good and bad and ugly. And The best teams I've been a part of, both here, whether it be four straight state title runs as assistant at Carmel, like it's all about the day-to-day. It's all about week-to-week, and you don't get too high. That doesn't mean it might not mean a little bit more if we win this week, but the win will come if we do the right things. And the win is not guaranteed. We got to go take it. So I will tell you, we played Friday kind of like we practiced last week. And some of these guys, and even some of their moms and dads, they look at me like I'm just, I'm feeding them a line. But, like, I didn't say anything that wasn't untrue last week. Newcastle came in here and fought us. They were physical and aggressive and incited altercations. And we got a kid get ejected. We've got to be more consistent in our emotions. We've got to use it, and we did that, but then we lost it a little bit. We got caught up in the moment, and so it's going to be the same this week, only better competition, and take nothing away from Newcastle, but that's one of those things. I'm never going to lie to the guys. If a team isn't very good and we should run through them, I'm not going to tell them in that way, but I'm going to say, hey, listen, this is a team that we should beat. Yes, I feel that in every week. And so this is one of those teams that this is a great challenge. But I anticipate us going out and competing like crazy. And if we have a great week of prep, then we're going to have a chance to beat a really, really good team. If we don't have a good week of prep, if we worry about the weather, if we worry about all the noise, if we worry about everything else or we focus on everything else, then we're not going to be disciplined and do what we're supposed to do.
Now, we talked about this before you got on. Last year, Greenfield Central ran a weird wishbone offense with two running backs. How do you prepare for that? And so last night they played the Marauders, and they had 50 carries. Now, they have been incorporating the pass a little bit more. How do you prepare your defense for an offense with 50 carries in a game?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to control the line of scrimmage, and you have to be sound against their option attack. So we've had success against it. And then they've gotten the better of us at some times. And so it comes from our scout team. I mean, our scout team backs have to be exciting, and they've got to want to do this week. Our scout team line has to want to do this. There's a lot of teams that can't simulate what they do. We can simulate what they do. And I feel like we can do it well, but it's going to take a team effort. And when we've beat them before, we have had great looks from our scout team. Their defense is going to be tougher to simulate if they're bringing all these pressures. We have to be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, and we draw every play. We have everything diagrammed. The scout team guys have to be locked in as much, if not more so, than the ones and the twos that are rotating for Friday. And, you know, we've been good at this before where Coach Ryan Jones, who's no longer coaching with us, we've ran the wishbone the following week because they didn't have time to run our offense. We've gone out and we've ran the wishbone against whoever because that was, hey, here we go, you know. And it's stuff that we can run if we wanted to. We have the capability with our offense to run any formation and any play. That's how versatile it is. But we've got to make sure we simulate it as well as we can, and that's going to be some guys uncomfortable in some ways. And we've just got to it's nothing that we have to do different. We just have to do what we do better. And it's important that everybody understands that. This is not bigger than any other week or any other game. It is difficult. It is a challenge. And to me, that's exciting. And we got a bunch of competitors on this team that I know are fired up about it. And I know they're left wanting from last year. But, you know, at the end of that game, we didn't wrong arm and pull. They got up inside. I mean, they beat us at the end. It was a matter of about five or six plays, and our kids know that because I showed those guys that. It was a difference in just being a football player and not being a robot in some spots. And what I mean by that is when we pull around and the picture changes, reacting and recognizing that and going and doing what needs to be done, it's the same on defense. If they give us some weird formation all of a sudden this week, we react and we play ball. If they come out in an empty set instead of their wishbone, to your point, we just win against five wide. So we shouldn't be concerned about that at all. We should be able to ID it and communicate and execute whatever it is that we need to do.
All right, but with that being said, that'll do it for our segment here, our time here with Coach Richmond. Once again, Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you. You guys have been doing a great job, too. Appreciate all you do. Go Arabians.
All right, but we will take a short break when we return. Will be next segment here on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
In high school sports, there are some things more important than winning. Like helping student athletes build character, become better people, and prepare for life. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Chris Kaufman. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. And we believe the purpose of high school sports is much greater than what the scoreboard says.
It's about teaching. It's about growth. It's about developing the whole person, not just the athlete.
That's our number one priority. Every sport, every student athlete, every day.
Let's champion what we believe in, like learning, like character, like integrity.
If you support the mission of high school sports and the life lessons they teach, then buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events. Join us in being a champion of high school sports.
This is what we do. This is what we believe. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show 91.7 WEEM. We are joined here now by senior defensive lineman Brian Davis and Eli Libler. First off, thanks for joining me, boys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, but jumping in right in here and looking back on last night's game, of course, as you both know, last night y'all claimed your third win of the season here at home against the Newcastle Trojans. Final score of that one, 40-0. But from the defensive line perspective, how do you think that game went?
Well, we definitely did our job, and
we did our jobs. Definitely a lot out there on the field after the game. We all are agreeance that it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we're excited that we had a good game. On the other hand, there's just so much on the field that we need to tap into to get our full potential.
And of course, Newcastle's quarterback Tyson Lewis has been quite the dual threat guy so far this season, being dangerous in both the air and the ground when it comes to running the football. But last night, that was definitely not the case. You locked him up, only allowed him to get a total of about 6 yards on the ground if you include sacks. So really, when it comes to that dual threat ability, do you think you had that in your game plan? And if so, how do you think you did a good job at countering that and locking that down?
We definitely had that job. All we were supposed to do is pursue make sure we contain the quarterback and make sure he doesn't get out of the pocket or try to run out, because from what we saw in film last week is that he didn't get at pressure as much as the other games, but we definitely pressured him more often in this game.
Yeah, he according to film, he couldn't do anything if he was in the pocket, so really contained him well. Upfield rush was a big priority, and Dresden Roberts was amazing. He cleaned up everything that we kind of fell short on.
Now, Bryant, last year you were seen mostly on the offensive line, but over the offseason they transferred you mainly to the defense. What challenges came with this switch, and what made you situated in this new role?
Yeah, great team. You know, I love these guys. I love Eli. I love these guys. They've helped me get situated. It hasn't really been easy, though. You'd be getting ready all off season to go play some O-line, and then Luke Grant comes along. He's an absolute monster. So they're like, you know what? We need you on the D-line. Eli and Garrett Peterson and all of my boys have been helping me get situated there. It's been a lot of fun. Hope to keep getting some sacks. It's been a good time.
Now, next week we play 3-0 Greenfield Central. Now, last year, as you probably know, they knocked us off in sectionals. Is this a revenge game for many players and coaches? They say, yeah, it is. There are a lot of players are excited for this, but is it mainly a revenge game for you?
I feel like it's definitely a revenge game because we got knocked out on the first playoffs, and now we're looking for revenge for what happened last year, and hopefully we can take back what we should have done last year.
Yeah, and definitely we almost had them at the sectional. So I think really it's just proving to ourselves we are the better team. We want to go out there and win. If we're disciplined, we can take it.
Yeah, and of course, for the Cougars, they're very famous for their game plan, that wishbone offense. They're not running it as much this year, but again, they do like to run the football. Last night against Mount Vernon, they had a total of 50 carries, and they really like to run that option. They like to run a lot of RPO and all that stuff. So as a defensive lineman, when it comes to those option plays and after reading the play and see where the ball is, what challenges comes with that, and how are you going to try to game plan for that?
Well, we said it all the time last year. You just got to break the bone.
Yeah.
It's all about discipline. It's all about standing in your gap, especially from a D-line perspective. You have a gap, you punch the guy in front of you in the mouth, and you stay in that gap, and that's basically what you need to do to break the bone.
I definitely agree on that, and we definitely need to do more of our job, contain the quarterback and the running back. If there is a run or a pass, we definitely contain our gap more often.
Yeah, and one last question here, of course, for both you guys. You've been involved with Arabian football for a majority of your childhood as well as middle school and here from high school. Eli, you've been on the defensive line for 2 years. Of course, Bryant, you were on that offense last year, now in defense, we were mentioning. But throughout all your years with Pendleton Heights, what do you think your guys have been just the favorite, your favorite thing about Arabian football and just the team itself?
Definitely the family. We say it all the time. We break it down on it. Family is just the absolute priority here. I've just grown so close to these guys, to Pa. I mean, you probably saw us last night. We got a half sack each. Yep. With each other, and we were jumping around like schoolgirls. We were very excited.
Trust, because if we don't have trust, and there's nothing to do if we don't have trust one another, and it definitely hurt us if we don't have trust.
All right, but with that in mind, that is all the time we have, so we will take a quick break. Of course, boys, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We'll take a quick break for our final segment. Up next, Zion and I will just take a look at some of the other sports around Pendleton Heights High School on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
While high school sports help students develop their athletic skills, the real lessons in this second classroom are the skills needed for life. I'm Brian Lewis.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. In high school sports, student-athletes aren't just running drills. They're learning discipline and work ethic.
They're not just watching film. They're learning the value of preparation and always finding ways to improve.
They're not just hitting the weight room. They're learning the importance of pushing through any challenges that come their way.
These aren't just some of the skills student-athletes need to navigate the game. These are the skills they need to navigate life, to be successful people, to be good humans.
You can ensure these life lessons are taught for generations to come. Be a champion of high school sports and buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is preparing for the game. This is preparing for life. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. For our final segment here this morning, Zion and I will take a look at some of the other sports around Pendleton Heights High School. Starting off here with the boys soccer side of things, they're currently sitting 4-0 with a 1 tie, so 4-0-1. Now this past week, the boys had two games on the schedule. The first came Tuesday, August 29th against the Greenfield Central Cougars. They won that one 1-0. And then following that game Thursday, August 31st, they were on the road against the Anderson Indians, a little backyard rival game, of course, with football for any sport. That Anderson game can be a bit more competitive. You know a lot of the players you're facing, of course, only being about 10 minutes away from Pendleton Heights High School, probably the closest school around when it comes to actual miles away. But they beat them 4-0, so Arabians, of course, still undefeated with one tie. But if you look forward for next week on the schedule, they'll have two games once again. The first one will come against the Heritage Christian Eagles on the road on Tuesday, and then on Thursday they'll be back at home in a non-conference matchup against the Fisher Tigers.
So in their first five games, the Arabians leads three scorers were junior Jack Weflin with 3 goals, junior Grayson Hovermail with 3 goals, and also Dylan John with 3 goals as well. seems like they're pretty dominant so far.
Yeah, definitely having a very good season so far. But switching things now, focusing on volleyball, the girls are currently sitting at 6-6, and similar to boys soccer, the girls had two games this past week. The first, once again, came on Tuesday, August the 29th. That was at LaPel, so a bit of a county matchup there. And they beat LaPel 3-2 in a close matchup. And then Thursday, August 31st, they were back here at home to face off against the Yorktown Tigers in a conference Hoosier Heritage matchup. And unfortunately, they lost that one 3-0, which, of course, puts them at 6-6. And for this week, Pendleton Heights volleyball squad has a handful of matches, including a tournament here this morning. They're really starting right now. Their first game is at 9 a.m. against Newcastle, then at 10 a.m. against Perry Meridian, and then against North Central at 12:30. And then you look forward to the rest of the week for the volleyball. On Tuesday, they'll have a road game against the Delta Eagles, start time 6 p.m. And then on Thursday, they'll be back at home to face off against their backyard rivals, the Anderson Indians. And really, so far for this volleyball squad, you saw quite a bit of seniors. Michaela Ross, one of them, that's been a really star player for the Arabians on the volleyball side of things. Her sister currently over at Notre Dame, and she looks like she'll be following in her footsteps, not specifically at Notre Dame, but when it comes to pursuing volleyball. She's a great player, as well as many other players on the volleyball squad. A lot of potential there. And yeah, you're at 6-6 at 500 right now. You do have a big chance to take a big leap in the tournament here today. If you play well, you can, of course, jump up 9-3. So we'll be hoping the best for the girls over on the volleyball side of things. But with that being said, that'll do it for our coaches show here this morning. Once again, alongside Zion Palmieri, I'm Dawson Peril. Special thanks to the board up in the studio, making sure our broadcast here this morning runs smoothly. We hope you all enjoyed, but be sure to tune in this Friday. Once again, the Arabians will be back at it at home against the Greenfield Central Cougars. That kickoff is at 7 p.m. with the pregame show. It's starting at 6:45. So highly recommend you to go out there, support the Arabians. But if you can't, be sure to tune right in here, as we'll be having live coverage for the entirety of that one. But once again, we hope you all enjoyed. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.